Boys, you want to go with Mr. Randy tonight? All righty, be dismissed. I like Peyton's shirt. Did y'all see what it says? Can't stop these skills. That's how I feel most days. Yeah. All righty, we're going to get back in Romans chapter 12. We'll close this out tonight, mirror on the wall, reflecting Christ. I think it's a good time to be talking about that the last few weeks of everything happening around us. Who are we reflecting and what are we doing? And we talked Sunday morning. And remember, I passed the mirror around again and showed it to. Was it you I showed it to? It was GP. Yeah, it was GP I showed it to. I knew one of the musicians. It was GP I showed it to. And I said, who do you see in the mirror? He goes, me. You see anybody else? Nope, just me. And then we kind of tilted it away over to show the people beside him. I said, that's kind of what we do with our lives. We kind of look at this. Then we say, I don't like, let's see what they look like. Oh, that's what needs to change instead of us. And Paul gives very clear direction to us of how we should be acting as Christians. So we're going to be in Romans 12. And I'm going to start with verse 10. I know we read 10, 11, 12 last week. We'll start there just to recap and flow into 13 tonight. Verse 10 was a key verse in the chapter, so I want to reemphasize that. He says, to be kind and affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. In other words, we are to lift others up above our own self, right? We're to put others first. And everything we do, we should be honoring God. The one verse that stays with me all the time as a Christian is where it says, do all things as unto the Lord. That really grounds you, doesn't it? Do all things as unto the Lord. So is my life reflecting God in all that I do? If it's not, then I can change that. That's up to me. It's not up to, you know, we blame the devil for stuff. Look, as Marjorie said, I think last week or Sunday's running together tonight, maybe a couple weeks ago, when she sung that song, the devil's under my feet. Well, you know what he is, right? The devil's under my feet. So we blame the devil for stuff whenever he's under our feet. So why are we giving him credit if we say he's under our feet? He has been trampled. He has been defeated by the blood of Jesus. So we do have a choice in how we treat others. And we make that decision. So we prefer one above another, reflecting God in all that we do. Verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, which is very hard, and continuing always in prayer. So we'll pick up tonight, verse 13. We'll go through the rest of the chapter tonight, these last seven verses. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. That means giving, helping our saints, helping others in need. Given to hospitality. That's a cool word. If you got a neighbor, there's not a whole lot of neighbors here tonight. But if you got a neighbor, don't you look at them and say, be hospitable. Can you say that word? Be hospitable. Something about being hospitable. And that word hospitality means friendly and generous to guests, visitors, and strangers. Hospitable. Well, real friendly to those that we like. See, I like Gail. So I can be friendly and talk to him about, you know, me and Gail have some real deep talks. We talk about the issues of life. What kind of pizza he had at Village Inn today? Do they have enough out? And the real deep issues of life we talk about, right? I can be friendly to Gail because I like Gail. But are we treating all people with that hospitality? You know what that does when we do that? It reflects our Heavenly Father. Because remember, Jesus died for how many? All. He died for all of us. Jesus gave his life for all of us. The old Western, good, bad, and ugly, right? I was watching part of that a couple weeks ago, and it was kind of late at night, so I got a little sleepy and paused it, and I hadn't went back and finished watching it. But good, bad, and ugly, right? That's who Jesus died for. He died for the good, the bad, and I ain't going where ugly goes. I'm just saying, he died for the good, the bad, and the ugly. If he was here right now, I could hear the Lord going, woo. But that's what he really would say, because he did die for all of us. And so we are to treat all people generously, friendly, and with hospitality. You know, there are many people, and I've had this issue happen in this church, believe it or not, as the bomb.com church we are, it's happened, where people sometimes get their feelings hurt because they say, well, nobody talked to me. They didn't come speak to me. And at first, I would be on their side. But as I matured in the Lord, and as I've gotten a little bit older and more seasoned, here's my response now. Did you speak to anybody? Because guess what? We're all one body, right? We're all one. So it's not up to someone just to speak to you. You also, as a fellow believer, should be hospitable and go speak to someone else. There's nothing wrong with someone going up and telling Roger, "Hello, sir, what is your name?" "I'm Roger." "Hey, I am Mary. Nice to meet you." We can make excuses all day long. We can walk in the ways of the Lord and say, you know what? It's up to me also to show friendliness to guests and to strangers and to visitors. It's also up to me. Because one of us fit this category, right? We're either a guest, we're a stranger, we're a visitor. All of us can fit that description. So it's up to us to be hospitable and friendly. So Paul tells us that. Give the saints, help the saints, be generous, not only in your giving, but be generous in how you treat others. Then here's verse 14. This is what we don't like. Oh, we don't like this. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Boy, the most littlest thing can set us off sometimes, can it? I mean, just a little thing can make us just blow our stack. And they're not even really persecuting you. They're just getting on your nerves. And you respond that way. Paul says we are to bless those. We are to still honor those. We are still to love those. We are still to treat those with respect, even if they don't treat you the same way back. What was it saying in the gospel? To do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So the next time you want to blow your stack, think about, is that how you want to be treated back? And maybe it might change how you treat someone else. We are to bless those. This shows spiritual maturity when we cannot let their emotional state change who we are in Christ. When we can stay grounded and solid through all of their rah, 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 rah against us, talking behind our back, persecuting us or putting us down or whatever, just continue to honor and bless them and don't get caught up in that game. Be the Christian God called you to be. Verse 15, Paul's going to say this, and this is something too that I think we all can work on as Christians. He says to rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. But here's what happens many times in our lives, because we are human beings, and I don't care how unselfish we think we are, we all have the selfish button in us. We really do. When someone is blessed, all of a sudden Gordon walks in on Sunday morning and says, "Man, God just blessed me with, you know, I got this supernatural blessing in my life and I want to share it with the church. It's all God." And, you know, we'll be hand clapping like, "Yes, yes, hallelujah. Woo, I feel the Spirit. Hallelujah for Gordon. Woo." But inside we'll be going, "Wish that was me got that blessing. I need that blessing. Why did he get the blessing? He been here in 2 years. Now all of a sudden he gets the blessing. I've stayed the course. I've been with the church up and down, through good times and bad times. I remain. I ain't got no blessing." "Oh, congratulations, Gordon. God's so good. I was happy for you. I don't know why he got the blessing." That's kind of how we do things. You know what that's called? Jealousy. We should be happy when those around us are blessed. If we're not, let's examine our heart and find out why we're not. He says to rejoice with those who are rejoicing. It's a good thing. And here's the other side of that card. Weep with those that weep. Which means, do we carry the burden of sorrow with them as Christians? Or do we just say, "Oh, I'm sorry, you'll be in my prayers," and we brush it off and move on? And we don't care anything with them, not really. You know why? It don't affect us. Kind of how I used the joke Sunday about who was it got fired Sunday I was using an example for? They went behind a closed door and got fired. Oh, your mom, yeah. Yeah, I use the example of Sunday. If Angela goes behind a closed door, we talk about how it's none of my business, how people are nosy. And I said, you know, if someone's behind a closed door, it's not my business. I'm not back here. I don't care. That's them and the boss. You know, I'm probably doing this and talking. I wonder what they're doing. Who's back here? Are they getting the, what's happening? It don't matter. It's not you. And so I made the comment. I said, if Angela's back here and got fired, oh, well, don't affect me. Boy, that sounds cold. But that's kind of how we are. Angela comes out weeping and crying. I don't know what I'm going to do. And people in the office is hugging her. I'm sorry, honey. God will open the door. God will bless you, baby. You know that. He'll take care of you. No weapon formed against you, Sister Angela. It's going to prosper. Just hang on, girl. And we say those things, right? And then as soon as Angela leaves the office with her little box and vase and little alarm clock and little desk decor, and she's walking out all sad, all the office girls are going, whew, I'm glad that wasn't us. Hallelujah, we come back to work tomorrow. We're not weeping with her. As Christians, we are to celebrate with our fellow members when there's goodness, and we are to mourn when there's sorrow. And that's kind of a lighter note, but I'm talking about when serious things happen, when people really go through storms that they are weeping over. Where are our hearts? Are our hearts for them? Or our hearts, our mouth just with them, but our hearts are not. As Christians, we should feel the pain of those suffering, and we should celebrate and rejoice with those who have victory. Verse 16, I'm going to read it here, and I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. This is the only verse I read of the Amplified tonight. The King James says, it'll be on the screen behind me, be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Now, I'm reading the Amplified because it just is a much more detail in this verse. This is what it says. Live in harmony with one another. Live in harmony. Right? Circle of life. Live in harmony. Do not be haughty, snobbish, high-minded, exclusive. But readily adjust yourself to people and things. Be ready to adjust yourself to meet the need of the person you are trying to help. How many times do we see exclusiveness, even among our workplaces? Bill works in an office, and I'm sure that there are cliques, and I'm sure there's those that you can't sit at my table at the break room. You know, kind of like high school, right? This seat's taken. Because they don't fit the narrative of that group of people. We are not to be snobby when it comes to the things of God. Because every person is equal in the sight of God. Every life is important in the sight of God. You know, I get calls quite often, actually, and you know, it happens. And, you know, Melon took a call yesterday. You know, people are struggling with feeling valued, right? With feeling valued. Does my life matter? Would anybody miss if I was gone? What do I bring? And that's a lie of the devil. And our job as Christians is to reach to their level where they are at and reach out to them and come off of our high horse, so to speak, and say, you know what? Let me be a servant into your life right now. Let me be a friend. Let me be someone that God can use in your life now and humble myself to meet the need of where you are at. We live in a very, it's always been that way, and always will be that way. It's just how it is. It starts very early in school, right? It starts in elementary school and goes through high school and college into adulthood and workplaces. And, you know, people form different groups and cliques, and there's exclusiveness and everything. But as God's people, remember what we said earlier last week in this same chapter? We're one body. Each member is a member in particular, but each member is part of that same body, and each member matters. We have three different musicians tonight up here playing. Do we need three bass players? What would have been just three bass players? Boom, 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 boom. That's all you would have heard. What would have been just three drums? Just three drums, right? Now, the keyboard's a little different. I guess that can be a solo instrument. I guess all of them can be a solo instrument, but you get the point of what I'm saying. I'm glad we didn't have three keyboard players tonight, three drum players tonight, that's it, and three bass players, and that's it. We had a variety. We had a keyboard player. That's a gift. A drummer. That's a gift. A bass player. That's a gift, right? Each one of us offers something unique. We're all part of one body. And if we are trying to outdo someone or thinking that their job, their ministry doesn't matter as much, then we are not walking in the light as God called us to walk in the light. One body, one Lord, one Spirit, one baptism, and each component runs to make a difference. I've told you a story years ago And I'm really ashamed of this. I mean, I really am. I just had a rider mower years ago. This is where we lived in our other house, right? And I was trying to take something off and had this little piece about that big. I don't know what it's even called, to be honest. I still know what it's called. Little wire about that long. Had a little loop in it. And I couldn't get it. Couldn't get it to go back in. So I thought, well, don't need it. So I put it aside. The mower wouldn't move. I put it forward. It wouldn't go. I'm like, why won't this thing go? Come to find out that little piece that I didn't think I needed was what made it go forward. In this big old rider mower, it wasn't the big old tires or the big old engine, right? The hood across there, the steering wheel, all that was in place. But that tiniest little piece is what made it go forward. It really was an eye-opener for how the body of Christ works, right? How a tiny piece that may seem insignificant to others helps make the body move forward. And each one of you are a part of moving that forward in what you do. Each one. I used the example last week about our cemetery committee. It's not used all the time, but I thank God it's in place when needed. Because when someone passes and we have to dig a grave, I've got people in place that handle that for me that I don't have to do anything. I make one phone call and it's handled. That's a beautiful thing. That's a piece that moves the body forward. Amplified. So adjust yourself to people and things. Give yourselves to humble task. Have you ever heard the expression at work, that ain't my job? I don't get paid to sweep floors. I get paid for this. I don't get paid to bring you coffee. The one thing God has taught me, and I know it's why I've got a pastor's heart. I really do, because I've always wanted to serve. And there is no task for me that is beneath the dignity of my robes, so to speak. Nothing. I don't care what it is. When this COVID thing first hit, and we kind of cleared our sanctuary out, and I was just putting a few seats in here for our worship team those first few weeks, first couple months, first month or so, I hand-moved all these chairs myself. Hand-moved them all in the fellowship hall, just me by myself. Melanie's over, we was over eating one day, and she started looking at all them chairs, and she goes, did you do that by yourself? Yeah. James, I was here, didn't want to bother nobody. I just moved them. An humble task, right? No credit for that. I'm over by myself. Nobody knows I moved. Well, you do now. But until this point, nobody knew I moved them. That's 3 months ago. Nobody knew that I moved those chairs. And I'm saying that just to say that, you know, as believers, we are to do anything God calls us to do. Jesus washed the disciples' feet before he was taken off to be crucified. And Peter fussed at him, says, Master, no, get up. Man, you're the Lord. You're washing my feet. You're the King of Kings. He said, no, Peter. Twofold here. If I don't wash your feet, you're not clean. And number two, I'm teaching you what to do after I leave. Be a servant. There's something about being a servant that is so fulfilling. It's so beautiful. We have some people who don't want to stoop to that level of doing something because it's out of their category. It's not when it comes to God. When me and Melanie first started this ministry in 2002, you know, Melanie was doing everything, man. I mean everything those first few years. She was the first Sunday school teacher. She was the first singer. She was helping clean up and fold up chairs and carry out equipment. And, I mean, she was the first everything. All those things that needed to be done, she jumped in and did. And a lot of things she did with no credit. There was stuff behind the scenes she would do, the ideas she would have to move the ministry forward. You know, she made up music books for the singers they came along, homemade, made up these lyric music books, and went out and purchased the music herself. And just she did all that and kept things going forward. It didn't matter what it was. There wasn't one thing Melanie ever said in those early years, I'm not doing that. I'm the pastor's wife. Not one thing. In fact, it was the opposite. If you ain't working, get out of my way. Because I'm going at it. Grab a broom or go home. Because she had a servant's heart. Do you remember her being your Sunday school teacher at the fire department by chance? You remember Sharon being your friend? She was before Sharon. She probably were too young. But and it was in the kitchen, that fire department was our Sunday school class, that big kitchen back there. But when we first started the ministry, we did everything. I mean, we broke stuff down, cleaned up every service, and a lot of other people jumped in too, and they were servants to the ministry. It didn't matter what it was. There was no big job or little job. It was just the job for serving God. And I look back at those years with great pride and respect for those that helped get us where we are today. I really, really do. It says, give yourself to humble tasks. Never overestimate yourself to be wise in your own conceits. Let's put it in a way that all of us understand. Don't be a know-it-all. Because you don't know it all. And the know-it-alls would really be lost without Google, right? We'd find out how much we don't know if we couldn't ask Siri everything. We all do it. Siri does know it all, except for the things of God. But don't be so conceited in your own mind. Don't be so arrogant with your own ways that you forget to humble yourself to be a servant for God. The ministry and those who work in ministry and believers and Christians should never, ever, ever put forth a foot that speaks that they are arrogant when it comes to things of God. No. Humility. Remember what James says. He says, God exalteth the humble, resisteth the proud, right? Exalteth the humble. He exalts you when you're humble. He uses you when you're humble. If you're not humble and you know it all, it's pretty hard to let God use you. So that was in the Amplified, and I thought that was very, very detailed. So let me read it all one time again, the Amplified. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, snobbish, high-minded, exclusive, but readily adjust yourself to people and things and give yourselves to humble tasks. Never overestimate yourself to be wise in your own conceits. I've always been one to follow directions from the ones I work for, always. I've never had a problem with that because I respect the authority that's over me. I might not like them, and I may think they shouldn't be an authority over me. But if they are, I'm going to do what they tell me. That's just how it is. And if I went to the funeral home in the morning, and the boss of the funeral home told me, James, I need to take a toothbrush and go scrub the floors of the morgue downstairs. Okay. Gord's like, I ain't going to do that. James would get a toothbrush, and I would go and I would scrub the floors of the morgue. I'm not too proud to do that. The first thing I would clarify, boss, are you paying me? Yeah. Right on it. I'll get that toothbrush, and I'll scrub a dub dub until it's clean. I don't have a problem jumping in and doing whatever. I did it in retail. I've done it as a pastor. My wife and my mom are probably the two close people that have seen me do things in the ministry through the years behind the scenes that nobody knows, that I don't mind jumping in and just doing it. And Melanie's still doing those things. You know, she painted the women's bathroom about 2 months ago herself. Did an incredible job. Painted the whole women's bathroom. Jumped in, did it. Said, you know what? We can save the church some money. I like painting. I can do it. And had her old paint clothes on. Did not look like, it was not her Sunday morning outfit, I can tell you that. Right, got to get the men's next, yes. And I'm glad you don't. we must humble ourselves when it comes to God to do whatever needs to be done. There are preachers. There was a pastor a couple weeks ago that got upset because we had a funeral service, and it was at his church. But he didn't know the family. Another minister was their pastor for years and knew the family. And got a little upset they didn't ask him. Just pride. This don't matter, man. When Uncle Gail passed away, when I told you, I said, man, look, you want the whole service, you can have it. That's your uncle, man. You have the service. Have it here. We had a wedding in this church. I wasn't even here. Another pastor friend of mine says, hey, my kid's getting married. We'd like to use your facility, but, you know, you're not involved. Is that okay? I said, that's fine, man. I don't care. And they used, that's several years ago, we had a wedding here from another pastor who married his kid in this church. I wasn't even on the grounds. Doesn't matter. It's about advancing the kingdom of God. And we get our mindset of not care about, there's an old saying, I don't remember the exact saying, but, you know, a saying similar to, if you don't care who gets the credit, that's when things start happening. And that's when things move forward. And so, all right, verse 17. Recompense, which means repay. Repay no man evil for evil. So no more eye for an eye or tooth for a tooth. Oh, we love that expression, right? And we say things like, I hope they burn, baby, burn. I hope they get everything coming to them. I hope they throw them away and they rot forever in that cell. I hope they don't see the light of day. I hope maggots eat their eyeballs out. Well, maybe you've never said that, but we may have thought that. Repay no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. That expression means to be above reproach in the eyes of men. We're not the ones that judge and execute someone. We're not that person. We'll see in a minute the Bible says God is that person. We're not that person. We're to love one another. We're not to execute one another. It's not up to us to point out what sentence they should get. We are to simply be above reproach and not pay evil back for evil. That means if someone does this to you, that you don't do that back to them. You don't. You're above reproach. You know how many times through the year someone has given me sign language out the car window? I've never once repaid that back. Never once. One guy, one guy went out my interstate. I don't know what his deal was. He passed me and held it up the whole time and stayed beside me. So I look over and I go, I'm driving. Just smiling. He ain't going to make me mad. I ain't going to let him get my goat. They can do all the sign language they want, but I'm not going to repay evil for evil, because it's not what God will want us to do. We are to be above reproach. How would that look, your pastor repaying evil for evil with sign language? Man. I mean, that one moment of weakness could really hurt, right? Oh, man. Verse 19, if it be possible, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men or everyone. If it be possible, as much, and here's the key, as much as lieth in you. We don't dig very deep sometimes for that, do we? Well, the Bible says live at peace if I can. Well, I can't. You've not even tried. Come on, dig down. Remember the Andy Griffith episode where the couple was arguing, right? They were throwing dishes and stuff at each other, and Andy brings them in the office, and they does this whole counseling and made them repeat stuff to each other. Good morning, honey. Good morning, dear. Good morning, honey. Good morning, dear. He was trying to get them to live in peace, but that wasn't in them. They were much happier throwing dishes and hollering at each other. Now, that's not your case most time. Your case most time is to live a life that says, yes, dear. Yeah, especially when you're married. Yes, honey. Yes, dear. Many times we don't dig deep enough to truly exercise living at peace. We make excuses why we can't live in peace with someone. Well, they wronged me. So? Was Jesus wronged? Absolutely. Yes. They've done me bad. Okay. Don't let what others do to you affect how you treat them. Be above that. And we can with the Holy Spirit. We can. We let the Holy Spirit lead and guide our lives. And one thing that helps, of course, is praying. And Bill's doing a series on fasting in Sunday school. And fasting is along with that as well, because you're in that moment of praying and have times of fasting. It's amazing how that changes you in those moments. How that all of a sudden you become more sensitive to what God wants versus what the flesh wants. Because when we are not seeking God's face, we're not walking in His presence, we are quick to pull the trigger, because all we're walking in is the flesh. And the flesh is weak, and the flesh is broken, and the flesh is sinful, and the flesh is angry, and the flesh has no tolerance. So let's dig deeper in our walk with God. And when people are hurting you, attacking you, try to continue to live at peace with them and not allow them to rattle your cage to where it robs you of your peace. And they will see your Heavenly Father in that as well. Verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Here's that verse I was talking about. Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Let God just be God. You know, we are very quick, if there's an issue, to call the police for our help, right? We let them handle it, you know? We'll call the police. We have a wreck. Somebody breaks into our homes. Somebody steals something. Remember Jamie and Joshua were over here skateboarding one day. I was over here working the church, and they were over here with me. They were little. And I'm in my office working there at their skateboarding, and I guess they put them in front of the church and was in the back in the woods or something. Somebody came by and stole them skateboards. Remember that, Sierra? Somebody stole them skateboards. And you know what I did? I called the police. It was a $10 skateboard, but it wasn't the point. I wanted to repay evil for evil. But no, my whole point is I called the police and let them handle it, and they came out, took a report. We ended up, I seen the van pulling out, so I got it. It was a very distinctive van. Saw it in town one day, riding around. Got the license tag. Called the police. I found the tag that stole them skateboards. They ran the tag. They got them. I went to court over that. They cut a check for $10 for a skateboard. Yes, they did. And we got that skateboard back. And my point was, I wanted them to pay for what they had stolen. So I'm not sure if I violated my point or just destroyed my point. I'm not really sure. I had 2 points. I let the cops handle it like we should let God handle it, but then I wanted them to pay, so I'm not sure I'd justify that verse very well. But anyway, I just want you to know, if y'all steal a skateboard from Living Water Ministry, you will be prosecuted the full extent of the law. All right. Let's close this out. Verse 20. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, starve him. If he is thirsty, waterboard him. If your enemy is hungry, you feed him. If he's thirsty, you give him something to drink. We're Christians, right? We should be above the level of the people that operate through Satan. We should be above that level. Why do we do that? We feed them, we give them drink, because it says, in doing this, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Oh, this is why love is so powerful. Some folks live to make you mad at them. They want you mad because then there's division. Then there's a reason they can stay mad. Well, they're a jerk too, so that's why I'm a jerk to them. But if you're not a jerk to them, it's hard for them to keep being a jerk to you because they don't get you goat. They don't push your buttons. See, being married to my wife for 28 years, I know the buttons to push for her, and I know how to get on her nerves. And there's many times I don't mean to. I'm really not doing it. She thinks I am, but I'm not. But there are times that I do push her buttons. Why would you do that? Do stuff just to make me mad. Do you ever do that to Christy Bill? Just, why do we do that, man? It's not right. I don't know if it's a guy thing, but I know I push her buttons. I know I do that. And I don't know why I do that. But that has nothing to do with my verse, does it? Okay, anyway. When we are kind to someone, we're talking about love. When we love someone, it's the most powerful thing because it's hard for someone to stay mad at you when they can't get you to hate them. It's like coals of fire burning on their head. They don't know what to do with themselves. How can you still be nice to me? I've been a jerk to you. How can you still love me when I hated you? I got you fired, but yet you smile at me and say, I'm praying for you. How can you do that? It's called allowing the Holy Spirit in us to be alive and active in our lives. We should be actively presenting Christ in our daily walk every single day. And we do have the power and the strength to be able to do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. But we got to listen to it, right? Like the Tom and Jerry cartoons, the devil and angel. We got that battle every day. Which one are we listening to? Are we listening to the voice of the devil? Are we listening to the voice of God? We talked about that a little bit Sunday, about the acronym STOP. And the first part of that was seek God's voice. The T was turn off the devil's voice. So we got to seek God's voice. We got to turn off the devil's voice. And when we hear God's voice and we follow that voice, it will lead us, as this passage says, and we'll walk in these things. The last verse, 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. We have the power to do that. When there is evil around us and evil attacking us, it is our human nature to want to respond back that way. But we got to hesitate a minute and pause a minute. Yield, if you will. Say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Because I don't want to attack them back the way they attack me. I want the good of my Heavenly Father to be what they see. And that's when it's hard. Easy to treat folks right that you like or they're treating you right. For those who have hurt you, those who have broken you, those who have accused you, those who have left you, that's what's hard for us to overcome. But we can overcome that. And the way we do it is we actively give them something good. There's an old saying, right? It's more blessed to give than receive. And the older I get, the more I find that is true. It truly is. You know, when your kids are little and you get them birthday presents or, you know, at Christmas time or, you know, whatever the occasion is. As a parent, you love, can't wait for them to see what you've gotten them. You're more excited. You're excited as they are. You are excited as they are. I remember the year I finally got my Atari 2600 video game system. The Atari 2600. One stick and one red button. And I was a late bloomer getting that, a little bit later than other kids, but that's okay. Parents came through. Good job, parents. Came through. Even got mom play Pac-Man stuff with me. Them ghosts chase her. She'd be freaking out. You know, she'd try to go through the maze, get away from the ghost. I love my Atari, but I can imagine how my mom, especially mom, I think she's more on board than dad. But I can imagine how my mom was so excited. That was the last gift I got. I got several gifts before that, and then she gave me that last. I remember peeling it back, and when I saw it, I think I squealed like a girl. I really remember squealing like a girl. I pulled it back. Oh my gosh. I was so excited. But you know what? You know what my mom was doing too? Because she was just excited because she was giving it to me. When we give ourselves to others, when we do something for someone else, it's a giddy moment for us, right? It's a giddy moment. Oh, I do something for my wife. I'm so excited. I remember I had a flower delivered to the house years ago. This was years ago. I had a flower delivered to the house, and she was home, and the flower truck pulled up. So this is when I had the camcorder that, you know, went like this. You could barely carry it. Remember the big old gawky camcorders? And I got it on my shoulder, and I go around the corner of the house. The flower guys walk up the driveway, and I'm having a giddy moment, right? I'm so excited. I'm filming the guy walk up the driveway. He rings the doorbell. Melly comes to the door. Remember that, Melly? That was at Woodview. Second anniversary. Thank you. Remember now? 2 dozen roses. I listened to my wife. Yes, dear, they're too expensive. Yes, honey, I won't get them no more. And that's not true. I sent you flowers last year to your workplace. Anyway, but I'm filming the guys coming around the corner, and Melanie comes to the door. And I remember I was so excited. I mean, I spent quite a bit of money. 2 dozen roses. I'm 24 years old at that time. You know, that was a nice little gift. But I was so excited for her to get those roses, to see her expression. And she came to the door, and the guy gave her the flowers, and she says, I'm already married, but thank you. No, she didn't say that. She came to the door, and she was so excited. And I remember, and I sent her flowers last year to a workplace, and I remember so excited. Because she gets off pretty early, so I remember calling the floor and said, look, I need this on your first delivery. And so she leaves. I want to get there before 12 to make sure what time you're going to deliver them. I nailed her down, so I'll be there by 10, 10:30. I said, okay, make sure it gets there because she leaves by 12. And I was so excited. I kept looking at my phone, waiting for the text to come through. You know, oh, wonder if she's got them yet. And I know she's going to just blow my phone up, you know, with kissy faces and all that stuff. And she finally did. And I'm like, yes, I was so excited. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And the point of that in this verse is that as we give of our Heavenly Father to others, it will cancel out the evil that's coming against us. We're to have a giddy moment. Don't let the devil have the giddy moment. We have the giddy moment. We are not going to let the devil have the last laugh. No, devil. I'm going to overcome evil with good. The way I do that is I walk as a Christian. I talk as a Christian. I believe as a Christian. I exercise as a Christian. I activate my faith as a Christian. This verse, this chapter, Romans 12, is an incredible chapter of Christian behavior. of what Paul says, that we should be reflecting our Heavenly Father. Now, some of these things are hard to do. It's hard to feed your enemy because they're your enemy. You don't like them. It's hard to bless those that are persecuting you because they're persecuting you. It's hard to overcome evil with good because they're being evil to you. These are hard things to come about. They're hard things to address. But as Christians, we can. We have the strength to do that. We have the power to do that because the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of us. And we have that power. Mirror, mirror on the wall. What are you seeing? What are they seeing? And we have the power to change that. You know, women can really change their appearance in an instant. Men can't quite do it, but you know, women can look one way and then give them a couple hours and they're like, oh my gosh. You know, because they can go from no makeup to makeup, hair color to different hair color, hair, jewelry, accessories, they can just do so much with their appearance. If you don't like what you're seeing in the mirror, you have a lot of power to do something about that. Say, God, I pray that you change me. That's what praying's for. That's what fasting's for. That's what seeking God's will's for, to help change us. God, help change me. That when I look at me, I can see my Heavenly Father. And when they look at me, they can see my Heavenly Father. We're not going to be mistake-free or sin-free ever. We know that. But we can dig a little deeper and try a little harder to reflect our Heavenly Father, because people are needing hope. You know, we are in a very unchurched generation. At the funeral home, I'm seeing more and more families come in with no church, no pastor, and a lot of them don't even want services. They don't want anything. They offer, hey, we got a pastor on staff, not only services. And we're dealing in a different world than we ever had before. You know, 40 years ago, a funeral service was a holy thing. It's a sacred thing. It's not that anymore. It's a get you out of the way thing, or don't have time for you thing for many people. And I see that, and it's sad. I see a lot of division in families. I see a lot of stuff going on. Things have changed, but God hasn't. And these folks need a light, and they see that light through us. They see it through us. You ain't got a brow beetle, man. Look, we've kind of been taught wrong a little bit this too. You don't have to go to someone, stand at the Walmart register, and say, excuse me, sir, and they turn around. You know, don't touch them. They'll keep you 6 feet, okay? Excuse me, sir. Do you know Jesus? You can know him right now. Sometimes God may lead you that way, but most time, if we would just open up a door of hospitality and friendliness, it's amazing what that leads to. Cannot tell you how many conversations I've talked about God by starting by just speaking to someone, asking how their day is, talking in general conversation, and before we know it, we're talking about spiritual things. We have to be wise in the things of the Lord to reach those that God wants us to reach. Mirror, mirror on the wall, what are you seeing, what are they seeing? Let's change our reflection by letting God change us. Any comments tonight on the message before we close out? Any tidbits of revelation God has shown you, or anything you want to share? Yes, Brother Fuller. That's a good point. Oh, thank you. That's, you know, Bill made a good point. It's about doing, not just hearing, right? We can hear all we want, you know. Hearing's great, but unless you're, it's like James also says, if somebody comes to your door and they're hungry and they're naked and they're destitute and you don't feed them, you don't clothe them, but you send them away, what have you profited them? Nothing. Sometimes as Christians, I think we do that. We're saying maybe the right things, but we're not doing the things that really they need to get through that process. But it all starts in our heart. Do we really want, is our heart wanting to give? Is our heart wanting to do what's right? I'll share one example in closing. I won't say any names. I said it one Sunday, but they're not here, so I won't say the names. But there was a guy in our church that comes here regularly. He was in the drive-thru one morning at McDonald's, and the car in front of him bought his whatever he had. And unfortunately, all he had was like $2 or $3, I think a cup of coffee, and I mean like a $2 bill, coffee and maybe one little thing, that's all he had. And so he said, the car in front of you paid it. Oh, okay, great. So his wife's telling me this story, says, so you know, he's telling me, says, well, I guess the right thing to do is to buy the one behind me now. Well, they ended up having like a $9 bill. So, you know, he got paid $2. He had to pay $9. But the irony of that is, I don't know how he really felt about it, but the irony was, if his heart wasn't really in it, it really didn't do any good, did it? It didn't do any good. If he was giving out of obligation, well, I guess, you know, they got, I guess I'll do the one behind me, you know, keep the chain going. But if your heart's not in it, you don't receive the full reward of that. So make sure your heart is in what you're doing for God. However you're reflecting God, however you're being friendly, giving, serving, have your heart. God wants your heart. He really wants your heart. If your heart's not in it, then just, it's best not to do it. Yes, Gordon. Yes. Like Jesus said, we're the light, right? We're the light of the world. Yes, we are that light. Be a candle bearer. Shine the light. People are so distraught right now. They're so afraid. They're a mess. But we can't be a mess. We're the people of God, so you don't be a mess with them. Anybody else? Well, thank y'all for being here tonight. We will, if you'll stand up, we'll close out in prayer. If you have any offering tonight, you can come put in the offering plate up here at the by the door. Father, we thank you for this message. Thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that we do have the power to overcome evil. We have the power to bless those that persecute us. We have the power to be friendly to those we don't even know. We have the power to love, God, because you placed that love in us. God, if we love your kind of love, it won't matter how they treat us or what they look like or who they are or what they've done. Not if we love like you, God, because you died for all, and we thank you for that, Lord. Bless your people and keep your people. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.